Welcome to Eye on Princeton, a podcast dedicated to keeping you informed about the happenings in Princeton, Texas. Let's hand things off to your show host and Princeton resident, Mitchell Chase.
Greg Price, as always, thank you for that great introduction. And this is Eye on Princeton. An important episode today, as we do have some nasty weather coming into town. We're talking about some real cold temperatures. And with us, the emergency management specialist for Princeton Fire Department, we have Captain Ben Harp with us. Captain Harp, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing well.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. You know, let's start with this. What does your job entail as the emergency management specialist?
As the emergency management specialist for the city of Princeton, one of my biggest task that I'm responsible for is just looking at the vulnerability and how it relates to hazardous conditions from either man-made weather, man-made riot, and then a lot of community involvement.
Well, that actually covers a lot. And so what we'll do now, because we have some really nasty cold weather that's forecasted to come into town, you know, over the Christmas weekend. You know, let's look at that. What are some of the things you'd like to let us know to be prepared and be safe?
The one of the biggest things that we relay out to the public is the three P's. That's people, pets, and pops. Protecting those three things for any severe weather event, cold weather event, is what we find is the most important thing. With the people, with this event that we have coming in, I think exposure is the biggest risk to the public. And that's, I know on Friday, with the expected wind chills we're going to have, that if you're unprepared and you're outdoors with that wind chill, then hypothermia and frostbite can set in, you know, relatively quickly. The pets, you know, a lot of people have the pets that are outside animals. Here in Texas, in North Texas especially, a lot of people's pets can't really handle these below 20 temperatures. I think we're forecasted to have over 2 days that it's going to be under 20 degrees outside. So protecting your pets, you know, making sure that they're ready for this. And then pops, you know, protecting all of the pops in your house, your water hose spigots on the outside, or even piping on exterior walls of the house, especially your north-facing walls. That's the biggest thing we try to prepare the public for.
All right. Let's look at a couple of these things real quick, getting a little deeper into it. When it comes to these cold temperatures and now with people and being out in that severe wind chill, do we need to be sure we're totally covered?
Yeah, your body will let you know. You know, if for frostbite, for example, the first thing you feel is going to be in your feet and your hands. And when they start getting cold, you know, that is the earliest onset of frostbite. But, you know, being able to protect your hands and your feet and your face from these extreme temperatures, the body itself, you know, the body creates heat. And in a no-wind environment, you can pretty much, your body will create a bubble of heat around your body. But when that wind starts hitting, it just blows all that protective bubble away, and any exposed skin is going to be getting cold very rapidly. So protecting your skin is very important in the wind chill Arctic blast weather.
So you may want to put off your walk.
Yes. So, yeah, you know, if in this extreme weather, unless you have to be out in it over, let's say, Thursday afternoon through noon on Sunday, if you can avoid going outside, this is the weekend to avoid going outside. This is one of those days where you might just open up the mini blinds, the window, and, you know, drink your cup of coffee or hot chocolate and stay inside and just look outside. There are people that have to go outside, and those are the ones that you know, really should focus on protecting from the elements.
With the pets, just very interesting that you brought that up. They're the little feet, you know, talking about dogs and cats, right? If you know, you got to protect those feet.
That's right. That's right. You know, our pets are not wild animals. They are, you know, domesticated. And, you know, they're not really prepared for this Arctic weather that we're going to be receiving. So, you know, protecting your pets, you know, all your responsible pet owners, you know, even like horses and cattle, you know, they're putting jackets on their horses this weekend. And it's the, like you brought up with the cats and the dogs, that's one you really want to know. You know, you want to make sure you bring them in out of this severe weather. And if that's not an option, you know, do what you can to protect them and make sure that they have a shelter to go in. You know, I don't really recommend using the heat lamp. A lot of people will like put heat lamps in like the chicken coop or the doghouse outside. And those have a certain level of danger associated with using those type of devices. If they're constantly being, if you're constantly right there with them, then they would be safe to use. But using a heat lamp and going to bed is probably a bad idea.
Very good. You know, and that's what a great way. Let's transition a little bit now. I just want to go like to inside the home. Let's say the worst happens and let's say we lose power for a little bit. What are the safe ways to stay warm in our house and things we should definitely not do?
So fortunately with this weather event that we're expecting this weekend, we're not expecting any ice or snow, which is what is most detrimental to our power grid. So what we're looking at this weekend is just extreme cold. So hopefully we don't lose any power. The citizens of Princeton should prepare for a power outage. If there is a power outage, we're going to be looking at hopefully just localized power outages, not any large-scale power outages. But in the event of a power outage, there are alternate heating methods for the home. If you do have a generator, which, you know, it would be a great thing to have for this time of weather, for this kind of event, is a backup generator. And the use of a backup generator, you know, you want to make sure you use that in a very well ventilated area, about 20 feet away from the house, and really keeping it away from doors and windows, just protecting from carbon monoxide. But then an electrical heat would absolutely help in keeping your home warm. Outside of that, a lot of people will use propane heaters, and there are several propane heaters on the market that are intended for indoor use. And that's one thing you want to be sure that if you're using a heater in your home, make sure that it's recommended for indoor use, not outdoor only.
Very good. And just a couple things, like just to go over real quick. Also, when it comes to trying to use your stovetop or your oven, bad idea to use that.
Right, that's not recommended. You know, your oven is for a short time use. You know, about the longest thing you use your oven for is cooking a turkey or, you know, baking something, and that's short term use. Ovens and stoves, gas powered, are not intended to keep the house warm. You know, they are intended for cooking. And there is a real threat of carbon monoxide poisoning when using something like that. You know, another thing that residents should be preparing for is checking their smoke detectors and their carbon monoxide detectors, making sure that the battery backups in them are powered up and ready for a power outage. But no, you definitely don't want to use a stove or oven to heat your home.
I can't wait to hear your answer on this one. How about candles versus flashlights? I'm talking about lit candles with the hot flame.
So again, you know, a lit candle. You know, it's combustion, and with a product of combustion, there's always a threat for carbon monoxide. And then, you know, if a lot of people will light these candles and then go to bed and not constantly attend to them, and that's extremely dangerous. You know, having an open fire in a not prepared place for it is very dangerous. So no, you know, flashlights are always the best way to go, using an approved alternate heating method, and using flashlights in the home would definitely be the way to go.
When it comes to, we're talking about the pipes on the outside, any exposed pipes, get them covered now, right?
Yeah, do you want to do it now? You definitely want to beat the, if you wait till it's freezing to the outside and do it, then you got at it too late. They could already be frozen by the time you get there. Paying special close attention to the north side. That's where the wind is this time of year is generally out of the north, and making sure everything is very well protected on the north side. But covering up those pipes and keeping them above freezing is the most important thing to do right now. Keep that water flowing.
Captain Harp, one other thing, if we have to drive, if we have to go out somewhere, what should we be prepared for with icy roads?
Well, like you said, if you have to go out, if there is an icy condition, you have to go out, you know, follow the news broadcast, you know, look and see what roads between where you are to where you're going, see if those roads are being maintained. I know the state and the county does a great job. The city of Princeton does a great job on maintaining a lot of the major roads, but you want to check and make sure that they're being maintained. Definitely, if you can put off postponing the time you have to be on the road, you know, definitely wait till the sun's up. You know, at nighttime is when it's most dangerous. That's when the black ice is most prevalent at nighttime. But doing it during when the sun comes out is the best time to travel. That being said, you want to make sure that your vehicle is prepared itself for this event. Make sure your battery is, you got a good battery on your car. You know, we can stop by AutoZone or Riley's anywhere here locally in town and, you know, do a quick check on your battery. Make sure that your battery is prepared for this event. And then having stuff in your vehicle that prepares you for if you happen to go off the roadway, you know, make sure you have a form of communication with you. You know, we all have cell phones these days and the ability to call 911. And then if you have a vehicle problem and your vehicle is dies on you on the road, then your heater's not going to work. So make sure you have something in your vehicle that you can stay warm in this extreme weather for an extended period of time while you wait on emergency services or a tow truck or something like that to get to where you are.
Very good. I just, you know, I really appreciate you taking the time to, you know, be with us. I really appreciate you being with us here on Eye on Princeton. One other thing, though, is just that you know, people are moving in, we're getting new residents and that's great. Can you just share with us how we can sign up with the city to get alerts for emergency notices, notification?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. If you just, it's PrincetonTexas.gov is the website that the city of Princeton has for our official website page. But what I always like to tell people is just go to Google and type in Princeton TX, and first thing that comes up is the City of Princeton link that'll take you to Princeton.gov. From there, on the homepage, if you just go to the department and scroll down and find emergency management, under the emergency management page there, you scroll down a little ways and it talks about the Civic Ready app. And if you have an Android or Apple, it walks you right through those ways to get signed up for the Civic Ready. And it's very important, you know, for the city of Princeton, before we do Facebook or anything else like that, the first thing we do is send information out through Civic Ready app. And it just notifies everybody, all the city of Princeton or anybody who signed up for Civic Ready through Princeton, it gives them all the information from the city. On top of that, if you scroll down just a little bit further, you'll see our steer program. And I know you did a podcast on our steer program and ways to sign up for our steer program. But the steer program is intended, you know, for the elderly or people who have any kind of disability. Yes. Ways to sign up for our steer program. And if they just refer back to your previous podcast on the steer program, they can walk through how to get registered for that.
Thank you for reminding us of that, because that episode was with the fire chief, and it's very easy to find under community engagement for Eye on Princeton, and you can look up that episode and it'll explain everything, because it's and what's important about it, what you brought up, is just that if people have special needs, the fire department is made aware of it and can possibly help.
That's right.
One last thing. I know you're busy, but just in case, because it is Christmas and there may be some turkeys being cooked, I wanted if you would just hit the safety for if you're going to fry your turkey, even in the cold weather, but just how to do that safely.
Yeah, you know, luckily, you know, we've done a really good job over the last several years of educating the public on the importance of not frying a turkey indoors. So we have seen a reduction in the fryers associated with cooking turkeys. But yeah, we can go over it. And you want to, like you said, the most important thing is not doing it indoors. Just like we were talking about with the generators, right? You're being 20 foot away from the house is absolutely the most safest thing. Everybody doesn't have that option. You know, it's not available to everybody to be 20 foot away from your house. So just as far away from any structure, be it a fence, a shed, the home, your neighbor's house, you know, being as far away as possible as you can. And then before you fill your pot up with oil, first thing you want to do is fill it with water and then put the turkey in the water to make sure you're not going to overflow the oil once you get ready to fry your turkey. So you fill it up with water, put your turkey in there, and that's what's going to tell you your measurement of how much oil you need in the pot. So be away from your house, use the right amount of oil, and make sure you have some kind of extinguishing agent nearby, be it a fire extinguisher, which is the best. Using water on a grease fire is not recommended. A dry chemical extinguisher, which is what most people have, it would be the best thing to have. You'll make sure you have one of those close.
Awesome. On the fire extinguisher, I just want to ask you real quick, you know, if it's been sitting there for 6 months or a year, how often should those be serviced?
They should be serviced yearly. That's what it comes down to. You know, in a perfect world, they are serviced yearly. If you haven't had your service yearly, does that mean the one you have is not going to work? That's not what it means. You should have a new fire extinguisher made available to you. If that's not an option, you know, they're dry chemical extinguishers. Most of them are. Most everybody is a dry chem extinguisher. And you can turn it upside down and shake it. It's powder inside the canister. And just make sure that's loose. If it has a gauge on it, make sure that the gauge is in the green and pressured up. If it's needles down to the recharge, then obviously that's not a reliable extinguisher. But, yeah, shake it. Make sure the powder in there is loose. Check your gauge. Make sure it's in the green and ready to go. And you should be okay, but not having it serviced yearly is somewhat of a gamble.
Captain Harp, Ben Harp, the emergency management specialist for the city of Princeton, just thank you so much for taking your time today to explain how to be ready for the cold weather and everything that we covered. So I'm going to ask, right? I'm just going to ask for an open date, but when we get ready for summer, I can come back and talk to you about water safety and boat safety.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
And we can do stuff. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to book you for that.
Sounds good.
And when it gets a little warmer. Stay warm, and blessings to you and your team with the Princeton Fire Department. Thank you so much, Captain Harp.
Yes, thank you very much. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening to Eye on Princeton, a podcast focused on the happenings in Princeton, Texas. We always welcome your feedback, ideas, suggestions, comments, or questions by email to MitchellChase@MitchellMChase.com. Until next time, blessings to you and yours. Eye on Princeton is produced by Chase Productions. Copyright 2022.